God or things don't make sense to you, something good, something big is about to happen. So let's read these two verses, and then we'll go from there. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. And this is talking about the mercy of God, but it's fitting for what we want to talk about tonight. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God, we thank you for the word, for the reading of the word. God, I pray that you will anoint us tonight. You will help us tonight as we share this, God. Lord, that we'll learn, we'll grow, you'll speak to our hearts. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. And God is so good to us. So I'm going to start out, I usually don't start out this way because I don't like to stand here and read something to you, but I'm going to read to you a little story, and it's going to start to make some sense to you. When God or when things don't make sense, something good or something big is about to happen. Now think about your life. How many times in your life have you faced a situation and you felt you should go in a certain direction, but you try to reason in your mind, that just doesn't make sense. Why would I do that and expect this result that I want over here? We already know this much in problem solving. If you have a problem, you decide, I got to take this step and this step to get to this result that I want. But there's times that God leads us in a way that just doesn't make any sense. We don't understand it. And there's things in our life that happen that don't make sense. But a lot of times in those situations, something good is about to happen. I have a little story I'm going to read to you here. And it goes like this. There was a boy who went trekking on the mountain. He reached a great height when he realized that it was getting dark and he had to reach the bottom soon. He began climbing down. It was getting darker and darker, so dark that he could barely see. He was somehow managing to get down the mountain, supporting with his hands and feet. Suddenly, his feet slipped and he fell, caught hold of the branch of the tree. He was holding the branch tight enough, since that was his only support. He began shouting, "Is there anybody to help me out?" No reply. He kept yelling and yelling. Finally, he heard a soft, still voice. "Yes, I am there to help you." Greatly excited, he shouted, "Thank you. May I know who you are?" Quick came the reply, "I am God. I will help you, but you will have to remove your hands off the branch." Not willing to do so, the boy kept hanging all through the night and finally died. The next morning, the villagers saw the dead boy and found out that the branch on which he was hanging was just 2 feet above the ground. Had he listened to the voice of God, his life would have been saved. It made no sense. He's climbing this mountain. You think about that little story I just read to you, whether it's true or not. It's beside the point, but the analogy of it is good. And he went as high as he could. It's getting dark. I got to go down. He slipped and fell. And he knew he was on a steep mountain. And he's hanging onto a branch. And he's crying for help and crying for help. And he heard a voice. And it was God. And God said, just let go of that branch and you'll be okay. He was fearful to let go of the branch. Because remember what I'm talking tonight. Talking about when God or when something doesn't make sense, something big and good is about to happen. If he would have just let go of that branch, it would have been much to his surprise. Wow, the ground's right there. How many times in our life has God been there to help us and give us the support that we need, but we just wouldn't let go of the reality of the situation? That boy knew if he let go, it was going to be to his death. He was sure it was going to be his death. But many times we do that with God, but we got to remember his thoughts, God's thoughts, and God's purposes, and God's intentions and his ways, his directions are higher than our ways. We are thinking in the here and now. I can't see. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen next week, let alone next year. We have an election coming up. But I know a God who knows what's going to happen next year in our country when the election comes along. I know a God who knows everything about my tomorrow. I know a God who knows everything about you. Amen. He knows every detail of your life. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what road you're going down. And then there's times that he'll come along and we'll feel impressed in our spirit and he'll lead us in a a certain direction, or we'll find our place, or we'll find ourselves in a place in life that doesn't just make any sense. And we wonder, God, what are you doing? I think sometimes God allows things like that to happen in a person's life so that he can reveal to that person and to the people around that person how powerful he really is. And he really does have everything under control. The story of Job in the Bible. You think about that. The reality of that story, it doesn't make any sense. When the sons of men were before God, Satan was there also. You can find that in the early part of the book of Job. And he said, more or less, I'm rephrasing, God's like, what are you doing here? What do you want? What's going on here? And he says, have you considered your servant Job? God knew who Job was. God knows who you are. And God gave permission to Satan to go and do what he did to Job, but he wasn't allowed to take his life. That didn't make any sense. Why would a loving God allow the Satan to come in and do? And he did horrible things to Job because God lifted his hand from him. He lost all of his family in one day. And I think he had 7 children. He lost his farms. He lost everything that he had in 7 days. In one day. And then on top of that, he got boils from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. And they said a boil is a really painful thing. I can't imagine him having them all over my body from the top of my head to the bottoms of my feet. And then his wife on top of that, as time went on, there was some time involved in that. And she was looking at the pitiful condition that he was in. And in so many words, she's like, Job, you're crazy. You're a crazy man. You must have really done something wrong. And he had 3 friends that come along that they were just dismayed about the condition that he was in. It didn't make any sense because Job was a man that feared God. They said, Job, surely you must have done something bad and evil and wrong for all of this to befall you. And his wife looked at him and says, this God that you're serving, and he's so good and wonderful. She had feelings too. He lost his 7 children. She was the mother. There's not a mother that I could think of that could lose 7 children, all 7 children in one day, and just go on and think life is good and everything's wonderful. She had feelings too. She was hurt when she seen what was going on with Job. She says, this God that you think so wonderful, why don't you just curse him and go ahead and die and get it over with? And it didn't make any sense. But God seen the big picture. He had a purpose for that. Amen. He found Job to be a faithful man. And Job stood up and he said, and I trust that God would let us have this kind of faith too. And I'm rephrasing. He says, God, even if I die in this, even if you kill me with this, I'm still going to trust in you. I'm going to hold faithful to you. I'm going to hold true to you. I don't understand, God, what's going on in Job. Everything's not written in the scripture, but Job might have had a conversation with God like that. God, I don't know why this befell me, but I don't think he had a pity party for himself because he knew who he believed in. And today, you have to know who you believe in, because when hard times come, you have to have somebody to hold on to. And God's the only one that you can hold on to, that unchanging hand of God. Because you got 2 choices. You're either going to hold on to God to help you get out of the situation that you're in, or there's the devil. And I don't think the devil's going to help you get out of the situation that you're in. And we have to have that mindset of Job. God, even if I die in this, I'm going to trust you because you know what's best for me. Remember, we're talking about when God, or when things don't make sense, something good is about to happen. And you can read the end of Job's life. I didn't have that in my notes here. Amen. But I just felt inspired to bring that out. And he was blessed with double with everything he had. God blessed him greatly. He was a man that feared God. So God is known of by men, but he still is incomprehensible. We know God. We say we know God, but we can't comprehend God. None of us can comprehend God. We put them in a box and we think, if I asked each one, what do you think God is like? We would all have all kinds of ideas of what we think he is like. And he is known of by men. We know of him, but he's incomprehensible, amen, in his thoughts and in his purposes. Because a lot of times, the way that God leads and the way God works doesn't make any sense. And we're going to look at some examples in the scripture that prove that point. And one of them that I have here that I want to look at, and you all know the story well, and It's over in the book of Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. This did not make any sense. And this is the story of Noah. It did not make any sense whatsoever. And God was looking for a just man, and he found Noah. He was a just man. And in verses 13 and 14 of Genesis chapter 6, God said unto Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." And you can read the rest of the story. That was a situation that didn't make any sense to Noah. How would that make any sense? And it's believed that prior to this time there wasn't, it's not proven that there was rain upon the earth as we know rain today. The dew of the ground fed the earth and watered her that way. But there's going to be this rain that comes down from heaven, and there's going to be so much water that the whole earth is going to be destroyed, and everything is it, and everything in it is going to be destroyed. And I want you to make this ark because something good and big was about to happen, and God wanted somebody to do something that had never done it before. But Noah, he followed God. He was a just man. And because he was that just man, not only he went into that ark, but his wife went into the ark, and his three sons and their wives went into that ark. It didn't make any sense, but God was about to do something big. Something big was about to happen. It might not always be something good is about to happen, because the earth being taken out like it was with that flood, that wasn't a good thing. But something big was about to happen, and God asked somebody to do something that didn't really seem to make any sense. We have to have our faith and our trust in God. And we talked about faith this morning. And if we have faith this morning, and if we have faith as we shared this morning, that's going to be trust in action. Faith is a noun. Faith is a noun. And trust is a verb. It's something that we do. We take action upon it. So if we're going to have that faith, we have to take that trust in God and do what it is that God inspires us to do. Amen. So we know the story about Noah. And I have another example that I want to look at over in the book of Exodus. And I'm not going to be a real long time with you tonight. I know it's dangerous when a preacher says something like that, because we can just tend to go on and on and on. But I'm not planning on being a long time here tonight. There's something really interesting that happened in the book of Exodus chapter 14. Something really strange happened. And this was another situation where something good was about to happen, but what God led them to do right before this happened didn't make any sense to the people. And we're going to start with verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before," and I'm not even going to try to read that name, "between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephor, before it shall ye encamp by the sea." And so a little bit of geography here. If you study that out and look at it, where God was telling Moses to take the people was to a place to put them in a trap. They were between two big mountains, and there was the Red Sea before them. That didn't make any sense. When you look at this, that situation didn't make any sense. Why would God put his people into a position where it was very predictable what was going to happen to them? They were going to be slaughtered by the enemy, because Pharaoh, after he let the children of Israel go, shortly thereafter he changed his mind and he thought, "Man, I wasn't thinking right. We're going to go after those people." And he was just thrilled to see the predicament that they were in. And so remember what we're talking about. When God doesn't make sense, or when things don't make sense, something good and something big is about to happen. And so as they were there, Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they're entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And your life, as you look at this, you can put a spiritual application to it. The enemy of your soul is looking at you, and he's watching what's going on, and he's going to say, "They're entangled, they're in a trap, and I'm going after them." And then Pharaoh, it says, God says, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he's going to follow after them." And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And so they went after them. They pursued them. And so you can apply yourself to this situation today. Maybe you can apply yourself to the situation you found yourself in today, or you find yourself in today. You're like verse 1 and 2. You have obeyed God. You have done what you felt inspired to do by God. Because we have that Holy Spirit within us. The Word of God says in the book of John, He will lead, He will guide us, and He will direct us into all truth. And so we're following the Spirit of God, and we find ourselves in a predicament. We find ourselves in a situation that isn't good. But you say, I've obeyed God. You obey God. You are where you are, and God knows where you are. And if you're in a bad situation, amen, something good and something big is about to happen. Amen. God can perform that miracle for you. He can do that. And when Pharaoh drew nigh in verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh unto the children of Israel, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptian marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And how many times do we do that? We look up, and all of a sudden, our senses come back to us. The reality of the situation is, I'm going down. I'm going to sink. This is the end for me. It's the end of the line. I'm not going to make it. And they cried, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And here's what they said unto Moses. They said, because, this is verse 11, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, just leave me here, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. You can put a spiritual application to that in your life. I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know the situations that you're facing in your life. But perhaps there have been times in your life, it would have been better if I would have never found out about this God. It would have been better if I had never gave my heart to Jesus. Because since I did that, I've had nothing but trouble. It's been a hard life for me. It's been woe unto me. We got to realize there's a spiritual warfare going on. The enemy isn't going to let anybody just gleefully go into heaven, and he's not going to bother you along the way. He's fighting for your soul. He doesn't want any of us to make heaven our home. And he's dead serious about it. He's out to discourage us. He's out to set traps for us. But don't ever fall into that thing. Maybe I shouldn't have done this. I'd have been better off if I never knew about God in church. Amen. That's the enemy that's lying to you. We don't need to go down that road. And Moses said to the people in verse 13, don't be afraid, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So whatever situation you are in tonight, I say to you, don't be afraid. Just stand still. Hold steady. See the salvation of the Lord. God has an answer for you. God knows where you are. God sees the complete picture. He knows what He's doing in your life. In the moment you're in right now, you might not know what God is doing in your life. Job didn't know what God was doing in his life. But when he gets to see the whole thing, and they say you have that hindsight, it's 100%, you can see that, you can understand. It's going to be like that. Amen. The New Testament tells us now we're in this world. We see but through a glass darkly. We're having a hard time to comprehend all of this. We're having a hard time trying to understand it all. But it says, but in that day, we're going to see Him face to face. And then we're going to understand everything. And then we're going to know. I have often said this, and I speak to myself also, Lord, that I can have an understanding of Your Word while I'm here upon this earth. But I don't think I'm getting the full understanding that I really need, probably because I'm not pursuing it like I should. But when we stand before God and we're there before Him, I believe that then this Word is going to come to us. And if you can use your imagination, we're going to say to yourself, I'm going to say to myself, why didn't I see that when I was there upon the earth? Why didn't I see that Word? Why didn't I see that message? Why didn't I understand what God was saying to me through His Word? Amen. God speaks to our hearts today. We need to pray that God, help us to understand His word. Lord, what is it that you are saying to me? Not just what you're trying to say, because God will accomplish what He sets out to do. But you can find yourself in that situation. You've obeyed God. The enemy means things for evil. In Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, we all know this story quite well. I hope you do. It's one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible. Amen. I used to sit my children down when they were at home, and I would read this story of Joseph. The story of Joseph. It didn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense what happened to him. God had control of that young boy's life, but then he allowed his brothers to take him and throw him in that pit, pull him out of that pit, to sell him to the merchants, and then they took him down into Egypt, and they sold him as a slave down there, and he ended up in the king's house, he ended up in the king's palace, and if you know that story, and you know all that happened, as it was happening in his life, Joseph could not have understood what was going on, but yet I believe he maintained his ways before God. He kept the right attitude before God. There might have been times, it's not recorded in the scripture, but I can't help but believe, because Joseph is human like we were human, there was probably times Joseph cried out to God, God, this isn't making any sense to me. My family's back in Egypt. You see the misdeed that has been done to me. I'm down here, and I'm staying faithful to you. And you know the story how Potiphar's wife, I believe it was Potiphar's wife or Pharaoh's wife, tried to tempt him in the scheme that she set him up in, and he ended up in prison for no wrongdoing whatsoever. You talk about an unfortunate situation, something that didn't make sense, but God had a bigger mind, because He knew there was going to come a time, amen, that those children of Israel needed to be brought out of Egypt. God was always way ahead of Himself, because we have the whole story here now. But when it was happening in bits and pieces, it wasn't making any sense to Joseph. And in your life today, there may have been some unfortunate things that have happened to you, and it's tempting and it's natural to say, oh, why me? Why is this going on in my life? I'm trying my best to stay faithful to you. I'm trying to have some integrity. I'm trying to serve you, God, like I should. But it seems like everybody and everything around me is just against me. God, what is going on? You can rest assured that something good and something big is about to happen in the plan of God. Amen. And God wants to use everybody. God wants to work in everybody's life. And so this verse that we're going to read here, verse 20 of chapter 50, and after he revealed himself to his brother and let them know who he really was, they thought, man, he's really going to get revenge on us. Listen, a child of God doesn't seek revenge upon anybody. Amen. We don't seek revenge. Joseph didn't seek revenge. He could have done some evil things to his brothers. But he said, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Because God knew there was going to be a famine in the land many years before it even happened. And he had it set up so that his brothers did these evil things against him and put him down there in that place. And in the prison, in the dream, about the seven lean years and the seven full years and so on and so forth. And Joseph was able to interpret that dream, and the king put him in charge to set up and store all of the food in big warehouses, I'll say it that way, where people from different parts of the world were able to go into Egypt at that time because they had plenty. God knew that was coming, and so he had a purpose and a reason for Job. Not for Job, excuse me, but for Joseph. God has a reason and a purpose in your life.
That's right.
God knows what he's doing in your life.
That's right.
You can rest assured in that. You might not like the situation you're in, but God has a plan. You are a part of the big picture of what God is doing. Well, I'm just a little nobody. I'm just a nothing. God has a plan for your life. God had a plan for the life of David. As we talked about that story a little bit this morning, I refer to it often. As he went and faced that, David just wasn't trying to be a show-off and go out there. You know, all these people here, they're so afraid of that man. Man, I'm this big, strong boy. I'm just arrogant, and I'm just going to show him. He wasn't at all like that. I believe he was meek, and he was humble, and he wasn't doing it to bring attention to himself. But God had a plan. He knew what he was doing in David's life. He knew what he was doing in Joseph's Joseph's life. He knew what he was doing in Job's life. God knows what he's doing in your life. And you can take it to the bank. You can rest assured that God's got this. You might not like the particular circumstance and situation that you're in tonight, but God knew it was going to be this way on this day in 2023. And he's not sitting there in heaven, "Oh my goodness, this thing got out of my control. I never saw this coming. Oh, what am I?" And he's scurrying around. That's not going on in heaven. God has a plan and a purpose for every person's life. Amen. That's why we need to walk close to God. We need to have confidence in God that God's got this. And Noah had that confidence in God. He just had that simple faith in God. God said to build an ark, and he said, "Okay, Lord, I'll build an ark." He didn't argue with God, why do you want me to build an ark? You know it's never rained. Man, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm not thinking clear. How many times do we argue with God? We get a sign from God. We get a feeling inside that we ought to do something. We ought to go somewhere, knock on somebody's door, say something to somebody about Jesus. And we're thinking, "Oh, I'm just getting a little too excited here. I just need to calm myself down. I just need to wait on the Lord. I just need to wait a little bit longer." There's some people that have spent their life times waiting to see what it is that God would have them to do. And all the time, God had something for them to do that they weren't so sure if it was God. Amen. We need to listen to that still, small voice of God. Amen. And so, Moses was able to lead the children of Israel to the Red Sea because he obeyed God. If you would have been Moses, would you have said, "Just a minute, God. Wait a minute, there's something here you're not understanding. I got some knowledge here. God, maybe you're not aware that there's a mountain here, there's a mountain here, there's that sea before us, and they're going to come behind us. God, don't you see a little bit of a problem here?" How many of us do that with God? God tells you to do something, you just do it. You need to have that simple faith. The Lord told Moses what to do, where to take the people, and he did it. He didn't argue with God. I don't think a lot of us, I don't think I could have done it. I couldn't have been a Moses. I would have tried to reason with God. "God, now wait a minute. We look at Abraham. God, didn't make any sense. That promise, son, they waited all those years. And the thing that Abraham did, and he went in unto his maid and had the child with her. That's why the world's in the condition it's in today, because of some disobedience that happened way back then. That's another time we could talk about that. But God, they waited for this. I think she was 99 years old, or 90, and he was 99. They were old people. Old people don't have kids like that. God blessed them with that child. And then when that child was a little bit older, God said, "Hey, Abraham, remember, we're talking about a God that sometime will tell us to do things and don't make sense. I want you to take that son of yours, and I want you to go up on the mountain, and I want you to offer him on the altar." That didn't make any sense. Did Abraham argue with God? Whoa, God, wait a minute. Don't you remember, you promised me this son, and about all the children I'm going to have, it's going to be like the stars of the sky through my generations and all these blessings. And now, God, are you sure you want me to take this boy? It's not wrong to want to be sure about the will of God, but if you're walking close to Jesus, you'll know the will of God. He didn't argue with God. He took that son, his only son. He went up on that mountain. It was a trying time for him. It wasn't making any sense, but God was about to do something big. He was about to do something very big. And the son even questioned his daddy when he was going up that mountain. He says, "We have the wood, we have the fire," but he said, "Where's the sacrifice?" And Abraham didn't turn and say, "You're the sacrifice. I'm going to slay you on the altar." No, he didn't do that because he had a hidden faith in God. I believe it was a trust in God. And what did he say to his son? "God will provide." And all the while, you can think what's going through his mind. "God, when are you going to provide? I need you to provide here because I know this is the promised seed. And surely you don't want me to slay this son. I know it's not going to happen." And he got up there, got the altar. And if I remember the story right, the wood was on the altar. And I think the son was even on the altar. And the dagger, whatever he had, was probably risen. And he was ready. And he's thinking, "God, I need you to come through for me. There's times in your life where you might be in a dire situation like that. The dagger's raised and you're ready to do something. It's just like God, this can't be your will, but God will provide. And his faith was there. God, you're going to provide. And then God told him to stop, and there was a ram caught in the thicket, and he took that ram and offered him as a sacrifice because God had a bigger plan. And there's a lot of other analogies that go with that sacrifice when he was to sacrifice his son there. But God, when things in God, it could be God, it could just be things, they don't make sense. Something good and something big is about to happen. You need to realize that. You need to open that opportunity. So if you want to make it, if you want to make it to heaven, you've got to obey. Whatever it is that God speaks to you. Now, realize this. You've got to be spiritually mature. God's not going to tell you to do crazy things. There was a woman in Texas years ago. It's an uncomfortable thing to talk about. But she killed, I don't know how many of her own children. She killed them in a bathtub. And they said, why did you do that? Well, God told me to do it. No. God's not going to tell you to do something that goes against his word. Okay, something so foolish like that. God's not going to do that. But if you want to make it, if you want to make it to heaven, you have to obey what God wants you to do. And I have another illustration that I'm going to read to you tonight in closing. We need to obey God for our own safety. We need to obey God for our own safety. Life is like that. Just obey. Simply obey. In this story that I'm going to read to you, I hope that it'll speak to your heart. There was this man, an aviation cadet. He was on a practice flight. And you can put yourself in there. We're on a practice flight to heaven. We're on our way to heaven. But this cadet, he was temporarily stricken blind. And in a panic, he radioed that message to his control officer. Fly this airplane, you got to have vision if you're going to fly an airplane. I think we can all understand that. All of a sudden, he had temporary blindness. He couldn't see. So he called the control tower, the control officer. Our control officer is Jesus. The officer radioed back to him, and he said to him, follow my instructions exactly. After keeping the blinded cadet circling the field until the whole field was cleared, and an ambulance had arrived, the control officer radioed, now lose altitude. Now bank sharply. You're coming onto the runway now. The cadet brought his plane to a perfect landing, was saved, and later his sight returned. All the Lord is asking of us is strict obedience. He's flying your airplane. Be truthful. We know we're going to heaven, but we just can't see. Go this way. That doesn't make any sense. Go this way. We almost have to be blinded. God, my faith and my trust is totally in you, like this cadet was. He says, back to the right, back to the left, circle this way, circle that way, lose a little bit of altitude. You're now landing on the ground. If we're going to make it to heaven, we have to have almost as it were a blind obedience to God. God, whatever you say, I'm going to do. Sister Barney can come down to the music. Amen. Think of an appropriate song. Maybe you thought of one already. But God, take the controls of my life. It's not making sense to me right now, but Lord, I'm just laying back. Joseph had to do that. He was letting God take the controls. He was just being obedient to God, doing what God would have him do. And God brought his plane safely home until it landed. His father was able to come into Egypt and meet him. And he died there. Then years later, they took his bones back up into Egypt when they left Egypt. Amen. God has a plan for your life. And what's our responsibility? God, just take the controls because we don't like the situations that we're in. At times, things are very uncomfortable in life, but we need God to help us. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Amen. We're going to get ready. We're going to sing something here. Amen. What I shared with you tonight, let that minister unto your heart. Whenever things don't make sense, and it could be God, because some people would probably be offended by saying, well, God don't make sense. But some people, he doesn't. But when things don't make sense, something good and something big is about to happen. We just need to lay back in the love of God. Let him take the controls of our life. We need to learn to trust him. It's almost like a blind trust. It's not really a blind obedience because we know what we should do. But God, you're attempting to do something big here, and I don't want to get in the way. I don't want to stop this. Father, in the name of Jesus, each of you praying in your own way. God, help me, Jesus. Lord, in the situations that I'm in, God, I can't figure it out. I beat my head against the wall. I've lost sleep over it. I just don't know what to do. I'm at my wit's end. It's not making any sense to me. God, sometimes I really wonder if you see what's going on in my world right now, in the life that I'm living. God, that after I heard this tonight, God, I know that something good and something big is about to happen, God. Lord, you're about to land this airplane. You're about to send that blessing. You're about to give us the answer that we need, God. Lord, we put our trust and we put our faith in you tonight. You have to seal that up in your heart tonight, God. Lord, I receive what you have for me, God. Lord, I don't like where I am right now in life. It's an uncomfortable situation, God, because I like to know how things are going to work. And I don't know what this has to do with this picture. But God, you speak to our hearts tonight. God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Amen.